bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Another week down, another week on the Trent Speaks podcast. I feel like I'm far away, which is always a fun game to play of figuring out what this sounds like when I'm recording versus what it's actually going to sound like later. It actually sounds like it's echoing. I don't know why. But that's neither here nor there, because I have a live podcast guest this week, which is very exciting because I don't get those a lot or all the time. And so this week I have my friend Sam. Sam, welcome in.
Thank you.
Of course. It's nice to have you on the podcast. Sam is a dear friend of mine from college. We work together doing campus visit stuff, so doing tours, showing people around campus. That's how I know Sam. And so Sam has been a supporter of the podcast for a long time now, and in my Marquette visit weekend trip here, we were like, hey, let's get together and finally podcast. I think that doing in-person podcasts are a lot more fun. So here we sit.
It's cool because we're back at Northern where we started too.
Yeah, and it looks a lot different than when we were here before. Of course, where we're sitting, it doesn't look as different because it's a building they made a lot of changes in, but the buildings they have made changes in.
Yeah, it's like a different campus.
It really is. Sam, so what, I know you're from Lower Michigan, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in Marquette, which is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, for those of you that don't know. How did you find out about Northern? I'm always curious how people found out about the school that they attend.
Yeah, I had big dreams to go to Michigan State, actually. And then my dad was like, hey, I went to Northern for my master's, you should go. And I thought it was going to suck up here, honestly. And I toured, and I thought it was amazing. And so as a sophomore in high school, I actually decided this is where I wanted to be.
Did you know, actually, Michigan State and Northern are playing hockey together this weekend?
I did not. Here?
Yeah. Not here. Oh. Unfortunately not. No, nope, they're in East Lansing. But
darn. That's pretty cool. Still I didn't know cool, that. Though. Yeah.
We're currently sitting across the table from each other, and it's going to be really weird when I do this, but I actually think that we're going to sit next to each other. Is there room over there?
There can be.
And we're going to try it out and see if we can pick up better audio by sitting next to each other. So Sam's gonna talk to you while I move, and hopefully that'll reduce some of the echo. Sam's going to talk to you while I move about what it is that she got her degree in and why she chose that degree here at Northern.
All right. Well, I have a degree in elementary education, and I have always wanted to be a teacher. And I actually got really lucky because as soon as I graduated, I got a job offer. And so I've been teaching in Marquette ever since, which is basically the dream. So it's worked out pretty perfectly for me. And now I'm teaching fourth grade here.
What made you choose Marquette? Like, why did you not want to leave?
I think it's such a fun area. I hate winter, actually, which there's a lot of, but there's a lot of fun things to do in the winter. So I don't know. I'm really happy here. I like to go outside and snowshoe and explore and hang out with my friends. It's just like the perfect place. And it's actually becoming, I don't know, more fun. They're building a lot more and they're doing a lot more. And so it's kind of changing a lot all over town.
I guess, what would you say your favorite pastime is then here in the Marquette area?
That's a hard one. I drink a lot of coffee, so I like to go get coffee at one of the local coffee spots and go like to Black Rocks usually and sit on the rocks and watch the water. I'm not a super outdoorsy person, but there's something about it up here that it's just like easy and fun and accessible. So I end up doing it kind of a lot.
You know, when you were just saying I like drinking coffee, I thought you were just going to say I like drinking
Well,
period.
Yeah, I mean,
I was going to stop there for a second.
Oh, they do have a good winery up here now. Have you been there?
No, I didn't know there was a. So, well, I like the Ordock Brewery is my favorite.
Yeah,
I did not know there was a winery here now.
I guess it's not really a winery, but it's like a wine bar, and it's awesome. And we have to go.
Where is it at?
On Washington.
Okay.
No, it's not.
So right
it's
downtown.
It's on front, but still right downtown.
Still downtown. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, right on the shores of Lake Superior, of course. So that's always been nice to have the water right there. And I don't know if you know, but Marquette was just voted number one in the nation for having the best fall foliage, which I guess makes sense when you consider hiking up Sugarloaf and seeing all the fall colors and everything.
Yeah, there's so many good spots to look at it. We went to Dead River recently, and I'm actually going to go up Mount Marquette today, hopefully, to look at the colors because it's beautiful. It's a little early to be peak, it seems like, but it is.
What was my question that I was going to ask next? I don't remember. Have you seen the Northern Lights while you've been here?
Yeah, a few times, actually. I was just telling somebody about that. Because you have to wake up at like 2 a.m. in the middle of the winter and go to the beach, but it's super worth it. Have you?
Okay, so when I've seen them, they've been super faint. So I've seen them, yes.
Yeah.
Have I seen them from some of the awesome pictures I've seen here? No, because I was either typically on duty as an RA, mm-hmm. or I was sleeping and no one bothered to tell me that they were cool until the next morning when I woke up and saw pictures from people.
Yeah, that's always the worst, when your friends went and they didn't wake you up.
Yeah. Did you always know that you wanted to be a teacher?
Yeah, when I was 4 years old, actually, I went to my dad's classroom. He was a fourth grade teacher, and he let me teach the class. And I stayed up late the night before planning a lesson, which he didn't know I had done. And I actually...
Does he know that now?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, because then I went down and I asked him for ideas. And he said, you know, you don't have to teach. You're just going to go there for the day. But I wanted to teach the kids something. And so I stood on a chair the next day and I drew on the blackboard a flower. And all the kids learned how to draw a flower from me. But I would always... I said it flower at the time. So I thought the kids had to draw a flower. And they all played along like they were learning it for the first time. And I've kind of been hooked ever since.
And you're what, 24, 25?
25 now,
25.
Yeah.
So we are the age where we didn't really always have a lot of technology. Like, we had dial-up internet, and so we've seen a lot of the growth in technology. How, if at all right now, how do you utilize technology in the classroom, and have you seen, like, do you... I guess, are you a proponent for technology in the classroom? Are you against it? What are your takes on that? Because I know it's becoming a lot more prevalent in education. So, for example, my high school back home, I think it wasn't until my senior year, they got iPads and we started checking out iPads. And then shortly thereafter, they were all issued iPads that they could take home with them. Where do you fall on that technology educational piece?
Yeah, so actually, like, my first year of teaching, we got this grant as a district, and so now every kid has a Chromebook, and they leave them at school. But yeah, every kid, except kindergarten, they all have iPads.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they can't handle the Chromebooks yet. But it's definitely a hard balance, because I'm super for it in a lot of ways, but some days I sit there and I'm like, oh my gosh, these kids have been on Chromebooks for 2 hours today. Like, where's the limit? But what's cool is that there are all these programs where you can, like, modify what the kid is learning based on what they're ready to learn, which I couldn't do on my own with 22 students. We also go on a lot of virtual field trips, which is cool. So, like, around Thanksgiving, the kids can explore the Mayflower, or they can, go to Salem or whatever it is. Like, if they want to learn about the Salem witch trials, they have all sorts of these cool field trips where I couldn't take them, but they can explore it online. And so we have a lot of fun doing things like that, practicing math facts. So I think there are a lot of really good ways to use technology.
Sam, so a lot of this podcast is obviously sharing people's stories and kind of where they how they've gotten to where they are today and what they've learned. And so I know you say you've always wanted to be a teacher, and you're doing that right now, as you said, and you've been successful so far. What is it that has that has shaped you? Like, what is it that's had an impact in your life thus far in your 25 years of living?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I was diagnosed with anxiety fairly recently, within the last few years, but everything kind of like all of a sudden made sense to me, and I realized I had anxiety since I was a child. And I think that's shaped a lot of the direction of my life. But one of the really cool things lately is that I have tons and tons of students who have anxiety, and some of them are diagnosed and some of them aren't. But I know what they're feeling, and I'm able to help them through and give them coping strategies that no one knew to give to me when I was a kid. And I'm hoping that that will help them and at least make them realize, hey, like, I'm not alone. My teacher has this too. And I've actually had some parents come to me and thank me for helping their kid through their hard times, which is probably one of the most rewarding things, because this feels like a curse. But if I can use it to help kids, then I'm very thankful for it.
Well, and I think that's something, too. I know that where I work, even though we've seen a decline in our enrollment, we've seen an increase in mental health-related cases, which seems really backwards in a way, but I think that's becoming a lot more prevalent in today's world, and I don't know if it has to do with social media. I don't know if it has to do with just the way things are in today's world or what the cause of it necessarily is. But I think, kind of like you just said, when you recognize that you have it, it's almost like when you get a new car. So you could drive the same route every day, and then you could buy a new car, and now you're seeing your car all over the road.
Yes, that happens all the time. Yeah. Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
So I think it's like mental health, where once we realize kind of what it is that we're going through, we start to see it a lot more, and we're able to talk about it a lot more. And I think being able to talk about it openly, it's something I've talked about on the podcast. Other people have talked about on the podcast. I think it was this taboo subject of like, oh, like you shouldn't talk about this because maybe other people are going to view you differently. But now it's become, and I don't know if you would agree, but it's become this bigger thing of like, let's have that conversation. Let's talk about how we can go through it and who else is going through that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because for me, once I had my diagnosis, and I actually have, like, she gave me a whole laundry list. She was like, oh, you have, like, paranoia, anxiety, depression, like, just, like, obsessive compulsive tendencies. She gave me all these things, but now I don't shut up about it because I think it's important for people to know that about me, but also because I think most people I know have experienced it or will, and I think that they need to know it's okay to talk about it. And since I'm not afraid to, I'll do it to kind of open that doorway for people. And what's amazing is, like, people have called me to say, I just had my first anxiety attack, or I just had a panic attack. Like, I get what you've been going through. And it's cool to me because then they at least know there's somebody out there with them.
And they don't feel alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Earlier we talked about how we met in admissions and working in the campus visit office and everything like that. For those that don't know, the campus visit position is, I would say, probably like the most coveted position on campus.
It is so elite.
Yeah, it's the one everyone wants.
Well, I don't know if everyone wanted it, but I mean, you had to be pretty intense to get it, in my opinion. I mean, because you were the face of Northern for all these incoming people. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't hang out with the people who wanted it.
I mean, I thought that it was just like, well, now I don't know if I feel as good about having it.
Well, I still love it,
but
see, to me, I think my friends were kind of like, I think my friends didn't feel comfortable giving it to her. Like, they never would have wanted to do that in the first place. But you had friends who were super involved in campus.
Right.
My friends laid low. Like, we avoided a lot of the, like, campus events.
I felt like once there was an open position, it's like that. Now, this is an exaggeration, but you have like 20 people applying for this one spot, basically, like super competitive.
Yeah.
Everyone wants it.
I guess, yeah. And I felt like it was elite because we did have a lot of people apply, and a lot of people applied over and over, and not all of them got it, and not all of them lasted once they had it.
Right. Yeah, it's a fun job. And there were parts that were easy, but it's not an easy job by any means, if
no.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So when did you in your college career get the job in admissions?
I got it at, well, I was hired at the end of my freshman year, but I officially began, I think, at the start of my sophomore year.
So why did you want the job? Like, what is it that stood out to you?
I wish I could remember. Honestly, I think initially I didn't plan on getting it, but I think I was like, oh, the pay seems good. It seems like something I would be interested in. I liked the hours a lot. But my dad used to make me give speeches all the time, and I would like compete to give speeches for money, which was like super lame in high school, but you got a lot of scholarship money for it. And so I was like, well, I can give speeches to people, like that'll be fine. I don't think I realized what I was getting myself into at first, but I ended up loving it. That's like been my favorite job.
I know, me too. Like,
and I like right now I'm like, Leanne is going to like kick me for saying that probably.
Yeah, but I mean, I really think it's been my favorite job too. And I mean, throughout the professional career, there's always going to be good jobs and bad jobs, but the job was just, there was so much to it. It was laid back in a way, the camaraderie amongst everyone.
Yeah, that was the thing. We were all friends. We were super cool with each other. We could like be flexible with everything. Like I would leave to get snacks or whatever. It was perfect. We could sit there with our feet up if we were done with our work with no pressure. And then we would seriously bust our butts when we had to as well.
Right, bust our butts, and then we would mess around quite often as well.
Yes, we did.
Do you remember recreating the Gina Carey photo?
No.
Yeah, so there were two of our, supervisors, you could call them. I don't know why I said you could call them, because they were our supervisors. They were at a conference, and so they took this photo together. I don't even know how it came up at first, but I think it was you and someone else who might have been the first to start it or the second to take the recreation picture.
I bet Amanda was involved.
Right, and then me and Troy got involved at one point. And so it was very fun to recreate that picture. I can't believe you don't remember it.
I don't.
I'm going to have to find it and show it to you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm actually in it or not, but that's funny. Yeah, we did stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
I'm trying to think of other fun stuff that we did.
Oh, we used to draw pictures on the whiteboard every day, which sounds lame, but we would, like, draw people as representations of themselves. Do you remember that?
Are you saying on the visitor board?
Yeah. Like on the inside one where we would like write who the visitors were every day. Like we would draw each other as like snowmen or as pumpkins, like whatever the theme was. And I remember they put me as like an angry pumpkin, and I was like kind of a leader around there, like by the end, because I'd been there the longest, and I was so offended because I was the mean pumpkin.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure it wasn't a mean pumpkin. It was just an angry pumpkin.
Oh, find it on my Instagram.
We'll photo swap later.
All right, sounds good.
What was your favorite part about that job?
I think the people. I think that's where my best friends have come from, like you and Leanne, Sarah and Abby, Amanda, like, and so many more. They've been good friends. We've all supported each other. None of us live around each other anymore, and I still keep up with you guys the most. Like,
people love me.
Well, yeah, we do.
People love Leanne and by proxy love me.
Exactly. No, I love you. I just also love Leanne.
Good thing Leanne's not here right now.
I know. Leanne would be jumping across the table to have her say.
Well, she would just speak up and chime in whenever she wanted to.
Yeah, that job was a blast, though.
I
don't know. Plus, I like to kind of be in charge and like know what I'm doing. And like we all knew what we were doing there. I don't know. I felt really confident in that role. Teaching is not the same because I'm not confident in what I'm doing as often. Because you could do things 100 different ways and no one's like ever going to be like, yeah, that's the one way to do it right. And that's kind of hard, but.
So I can imagine that's a, like you said, like a challenge of teaching is it's you and there's no one really, I mean, obviously you have your principal, but no mm-hmm. one's really like watching you per se. So correct me if I'm wrong, but really it's you creating a lesson plan of what you believe is best for the kids to be learning and still meeting, I'm sure, specific outcomes, but really you just doing your own thing and hoping for the best and whatever happens, happens.
More or less, because we have, you know, programs that we use, different curriculums that I basically have to follow, but I can modify them and I can add to them as I see fit. And yeah, it's basically just like me. They're just like, okay, you went to college for 4 years. Here you go. Do what's best. And it's like, I don't know, because every kid is different. And so that's, it's a challenge. And when no one's watching you, or when, you know, there's not somebody in there all the time, it is kind of just like hit or miss some days. It feels like, well, we'll give this a shot and we're going to see if it goes well or not. And the next day you try it all over again and try something different usually. So
Sam, so, well, I'll fill the people in first.
All right.
So, I have to still prep stuff to get ready for Monday, and this will be posted today, which is, well, so I'm talking to Sam, but I'm also talking to you. So this will be posted this coming Monday.
Okay. Yeah.
So the day people are listening to this, it's posted today.
Oh, sure.
So it's like a reverse psychology type of thing.
I get you.
So we're actually racing against my computer battery right now. So I packed literally everything except my Mac charger. So we're going to start to wrap up here so I have enough battery to post this so that people can hear it as they're hearing it now.
Wait, is your charger in Wisconsin or just at the house?
Wisconsin.
Oh, I see. Yeah. This is a much larger issue than
yes.
I had previously thought.
Yes, this is larger scale than you thought, yes.
Okay.
And I don't know why I looked at it last night and obviously didn't pack it. 23%. So the last question I always ask people is, what is it that you want other people to take away from this podcast? So what is it that you've learned? Like, what would you want other people to know, whether it's about something you've shared today already or just in general? Like, what is it you want people to learn and take away from this podcast with Samantha?
Well, I think whether you're an anxious person or not, I think you need to, especially if you're not an anxious person and you have a friend who is, I think it's important for you to start a conversation with them to see what they need, because everybody is going to need something different. And if your friend is suffering from anxiety or depression and they know that you're there for them and non-judgmental, that can be a huge help. And, like, my anxiety has prevented me from hanging out with people plenty of times. But what means the most to me is when people continue to invite me and continue to talk to me and to help me. And I think that you could definitely have a positive impact on your peers and your friends if you keep inviting them and you keep supporting them and your understanding of what they're going through, even if you don't fully know what it's like. So be there for those who have anxiety or depression or other mental health issues, and try to be as understanding as you can, and they will definitely appreciate it. And I think you can make a world of difference for those around you just by starting up a conversation about it.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Just like you.
Oh, you're so sweet. This is why I like you.
I got you. Sam, thank you so much for being on the podcast this week. It was great catching up with you, and appreciate you sharing your story and everything.
Yeah, you too. I'm glad I got to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this week. Next week, we will hear from Jenna, who, as I mentioned before, she's been on the podcast. We're going to catch up with her and follow up and see what has her life been in the last 5 months, because a lot of things have changed since we've talked to her last. So that and more on the podcast next week. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Do you want to sign off? Do the sign off.
What's the sign off?
Whatever you want the sign off to be.
Oh my God, that's so much pressure. Have a great week, and this has been Trent Speaks.